Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. We are finishing up our At the Movies series this week, talking all about the movie Space Jam, so stay tuned to hear Pastor Josh tell us how we can be great by putting down our pride and picking up the towel of humility. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing today? You guys good? Good. Man, packed house here in our Conway location, so I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that is with us today, and also for everybody who's joining us at one of our campuses. I know we've got people watching online right now. We got people at C3 Coffee Bar right now. We have people at our Coastal campus who are joining in during this service, and also our J. Rubin campus. So I want to welcome you, and I want you all to welcome all of those campuses as well. Yeah. So we are one church in multiple venues, multiple campuses. We are really just a church that believes that you matter and that God matters. So if it is your first time with us, thank you for being here. And I hope that you just have an incredible experience today. And, you know, it's August. And so that means some great things are happening for parents. That means your kids are getting ready to go back to school. And I know some of you are really excited about that. But it also means it's football season, right? Yeah, I mean, this week there was an NFL preseason game, college football reported to camps, high school reported to camps, so it's just that kind of great time of the year and just some great things that are going on at church as well, so I definitely want to encourage you, get plugged in, get teamed up, jump on board because God's got some great things in store for you. Hey, what I want to do today is I want us to just kind of wrap up this At the Movies series that we've been doing through the month of July and a little bit in August here. And when we've been doing it, we've been looking at a different movie each week. And this week, I sent out a push notification. So if you have the app, you should have gotten it. If you didn't, hand your phone to somebody younger than you, and they can turn on your push notifications for you, okay? But I asked the question, what is the greatest sports movie of all time? Right? And Rudy was one of them that came up, all right? Anybody here like Rudy? Raise your hand. All campuses, if you like Rudy, everybody should raise their hand because everybody should be a Notre Dame fan. But anyway, but moving on, there's a lot of movies that came up. 42 came up. The Replacements, that one was more than I expected, okay? Several people like that one. We Are Marshall was thrown out there a lot. But there was two that were like above everything else. And today, here and at all of our campuses, I'm going to let us vote which one was the best. They were both football movies, The Blind Side and Remember the Titans, okay? So I want you, wherever you're at, raise your hand if you think Blind Side is the best out of those two. Okay, so several of you. But how many of y'all think it was Remember the Titans? Yeah, exactly. Like Remember the Titans was definitely by far the greatest vote getter on all of the movies, all sports movies. Now, when it came to basketball, one, I could tell we were in the South because it was all football and a little bit of basketball. But there was a couple, all right? One was the movie Hoosiers, which I'm a big fan of because it was filmed about 30 minutes from where I grew up. Several of my high school classmates were in the movie. For some reason, they didn't ask the 5'7" guy to be in the basketball movie. I don't understand why, but anyway. But the other one that came up a lot was the movie Space Jam. How many of y'all remember Space Jam? Yeah, all right. And Space Jam, I can say this, definitely the greatest cartoon-based sports movie of all time. Great basketball flick. Involved Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny and some alien characters is the best way to say it, all right? So it's a great movie. Next year, they're coming out with another one, Space Jam. I don't know if it's going to be called Space Jam 2 or if it's just a remake, but it's going to include LeBron James, all right? Which then brings up another argument. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? Is it MJ or is it LeBron? Everybody's saying MJ. They winning. Y'all ain't even participating. I'm going to preach this way today. I got the amen corner going on over there. But hey, so there's this big debate, and everybody will say, well, how are you going to measure greatness, and how do you become great, all right? And maybe that's a question that you're asking, and I want us to dive into it today. Like, how do you become great? In the movie Space Jam, there's a clip, and Bugs Bunny helps everyone understand how you become great because he says there's a secret to it. So check out this clip, and it'll explain it a little bit more.
I didn't get dragged down here just to get my butt whipped by a bunch of ugly monsters.
I ain't going out like that. We're letting them push us around. We gotta fight them back. We gotta take it to them. We gotta get right in their faces. And what do you say? Are you with me or not?
Finished? Great speech and all, Doc. You had them riveted. But didn't you forget something?
What?
Your secret stuff. Wow. Whoa. Nice deltoid. Play along. Stop hogging it, Mike. We're your teammates.
Liquid stuff.
Liquid stuff?
You wouldn't hold out on us, would you?
No, I mean, I didn't think you guys really needed it. I mean, you're so tough. You're competitive.
We're also chicken, son. We need it bang.
Hey!
I'd like some of that.
Yeah, please.
You know, this goes against everything they taught me in health class.
You want to win or not?
Bottoms up. Yummy.
All right. How about we go out and kick some alien butt, huh? Let's go. How about it, huh? Ready?
So, there's a secret to greatness. There's a secret. Bugs is saying there's a secret sauce, a secret stuff, Michael's secret stuff, right? And I do believe there is a secret to being great. And I believe it's something that all of us want. I believe that all of us in the room, that all of us together, there is some things that we say we want to be great at, all right? We want to be great at life. We want to be great in our business. We want to be great as parents and great in our marriage. And maybe it's a great athlete or great with your money or great as a follower of Christ. Well, I'm going to give you the secret to how to be great in all of those areas today, all right? So it's just simple. Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you have to be different. It was that simple. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you have to be different. And the way to be different is to serve. That Jesus looked at a group of disciples, and we're going to dive into the story in a second. And he said, if you want to be great, then you have to learn to serve. And I would say that carries into all aspects of life. You want to have a great marriage? Serve your spouse. You want to have a great relationship with God? Serve God. You want to have a great team, let's say a sports team? Then serve one another. You want to have a great work environment? Then serve one another. You want to have a great family environment? Then serve one another. The secret of greatness is found in being willing to serve. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Jesus said it this way when some disciples were arguing with one another about who was going to be the greatest. Jesus said this. Let me just dive into the story. It says this. Then they, meaning the disciples, began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them, all right? And that's a typical argument, right? Like, we get into those arguments, especially when you're a kid and you're playing sports together. You would argue those things. Jesus told them, in this world, kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. What he's saying there is kings and lords and people who are in charge, that they lord it over people, that they demand authority, they demand respect, yet people would still call them friends. Jesus moves on. He says this, but among you, it will be different. That among you, it's got to be different. Let me stop before I even go any further into this text. That he's saying, among you, it's going to be different. This is critical that Jesus is bringing this up, because Jesus knows that his life is about to end. And everything that he has invested on this earth, he is turning over to 12 apostles, to 12 men. And he's saying, I want you to take my life work now, and I'm putting you in charge. Which meant he knew he was giving them a ton of authority. He was putting them in a position where they were going to lead the church. So he was saying to them, I want you to understand, you don't need to be arguing about who's going to be greatest. You don't need to be thinking about a pride situation here and the seat at the table that you're going to have. What you really need to do is you need to understand, if you're going to lead, you've got to be different. And then he tells us how to do it. He said, those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. He's saying, take the lowest rank. The lowest rank is when the guy who owns the restaurant goes into the kitchen and washes the dishes. The person who is the principal at the school goes and takes out the trash. The boss becomes the servant, all right? And all of us need to think that way in whatever area of life you're in, whether you're a student, whether you're an adult, whether you're working a full-time job, whether you're going to class, whatever it might be, you need to be thinking, how do I take my position and turn it into a position of service? Jesus says it like this, and the leader should be like the servant. And then he illustrates it for him. He says, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Now, I think we all probably know that answer, don't we? Like Jesus continued on, he said, the one who sits at the table, of course, right? Like we'd all think that way. That we'd all think the person sitting at the table is one important, the one who's doing the serving, that they're the servant, all right? Put it in the context of their situation, all right? These guys are all sitting at a table. If you were here a couple weeks ago, Scott was preaching and he said, watch for the posture inside of Scripture. All right, I want you to look at the posture inside of this. Jesus was sitting at the table. So he's saying, who is the greatest at the table? And everybody would have looked at him and said, well, Jesus, you're the greatest. Now let's read that scripture with that in mind. The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I among you as one who serves. For I am among you as one who serves. That Jesus is basically saying, you all are looking at me and you're thinking I'm the greatest in the room, but let me just show you, this is what you do when you're in a position of authority. This is what you do to become great. You get up from the table, you put down your pride, and you pick up the role of a servant. You pick up the towel. You put down your pride and you pick up humility. And that's exactly what Jesus did in the midst of this story, all right? If you go to the Gospel of John, it gives it in a little bit more detail. It says that he stood up, he took off his robe, and he picked up a towel. And then he went to those who were sitting at the table with a basin of water, and he started to wash their feet. All right. Now, I know we don't do a lot of foot washing in today's culture, but 2,000 years ago, that was very customary. All right. They walked everywhere. They were wearing sandals everywhere. And as we may be going to somebody's house and we take off our shoes, what they would do back then is you'd go into somebody's house and you'd have your feet washed. Typically, though, the person washing your feet was not the owner of the house. Typically, the person washing your feet was not the person who was the leader. Typically, never did the Son of God, the God of the universe, wash your feet. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He picked up the towel and he went to everyone sitting at that table and he started to wash their feet. Now, I want you to see the people that he washed, all right? He washed his good friends. He washed the feet of his students. He washed the feet of his enemies. Judas was in that group. Judas, the one who he knew was going to betray him that very night. Yet Jesus went and he washed the feet of what we would say is an enemy. And then he moved on to Peter. And then he started to wash Peter's feet. And Peter's like, don't wash my feet. I'm not going to let you touch my feet. I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says, well, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. And Jesus is like, give me a bath, okay? Or Peter is like, give me a bath, all right? But I want you to see what that shows us. That Jesus said, if you want to be great, you got to serve. And who is it that you serve? Everyone in your close proximity. You serve the people that you are doing life with. That means you serve the people that you work with, that you go to school with, that you play ball with. You serve the people that you run into in your neighborhood. You serve the people that are maybe teammates and cellmates, all that. You serve them all. Whether they're a friend or an enemy, you've got to pick up the towel of service. Well, what does that take? It takes sacrifice, right? It's easy to serve the people you love, correct? Am I right? Are you with me? It's a lot harder to serve the people you don't necessarily love. It's very difficult to serve the people that you know don't love you, right? But Jesus washed the feet of Judas. That Jesus washed the feet of the people he loved and the people who didn't love him. That Jesus was willing to say, I'll pick up the towel. And the only way to do that is if you're willing to go from service to include sacrifice. And see, that's where oftentimes we drop the towel. That's oftentimes where we go, well, no, I came to serve, but I'm not willing to sacrifice. And guys, when we're only willing to serve, but we're not willing to sacrifice, then what we're really doing is serving ourselves. All right, let me say that again because it'll go a lot deeper and it'll hurt a little bit. Let's just be honest about this. When we're only willing to serve to the point that it doesn't cost us anything, what that really means is we're serving so that we feel good. So that we can say, I've done my part. But when you're willing to serve to the point of sacrifice, that's when it moves from being about me to about somebody else. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus served to the point of sacrifice. Look at what it says in the book of Mark. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is Jesus going from service to include sacrifice. And Jesus illustrated it that night, that very night while he was sitting at the table with those guys. He illustrated service through picking up the towel. He also illustrated sacrifice through the meal that they were eating. See, they were eating a meal called the Passover meal at the time. And the Passover meal, the Jews had eaten every year for over 1,000 years. And every year they'd come together and they'd eat it, and that meal represented something. It represented the Exodus and when they fled Egypt. But tonight, Jesus came to them and he said, let me give you a new meaning behind this meal. And this is what it says. It says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. That Jesus is saying, I am giving you my body and my blood. That when you pick up the bread, remember that my body is sacrificed for you. And when you pick up some kind of juice, wine, and drink it, I want you to remember my blood because my blood is being poured out for you. That Jesus was saying, I am willing to give my entire life for you. I'm willing to sacrifice it all. It's kind of what happened in the Space Jam movie. You see, Michael went to serve the characters of Looney Tunes, of Toontown, right? And he played basketball with them because he was just serving them. But then he found out that the reason these Monstars were so big is they'd stolen the talents of other NBA players. So he went to the leader of the Monstars and he said, I want their talents back. And what he ended up doing is he made a big bet, a big gamble. I know it's really hard to believe that Michael Jordan made a big bet or a big gamble, but he did. And that day, he made a big gamble with this alien leader, and he said, here's what I want to do. If we win, you give the NBA guys their talents back. And the guy said, no problem, but if I win, you come and play for me on Moron Mountain. And Michael said, I'm in. That Michael said, I'm willing to go to another planet to risk my life. Guys, let's remember, that's a cartoon. But there's a true story about a God who said, I'm going to come to another planet. And I'm going to leave where I'm at. and I'm going to go to the earth, and I'm going to serve the people who are in prison. I'm going to serve those who have been captured. I'm going to serve those who need to be freed. And he did so to the point that he gave his body for us on a cross, and he died, and he was buried in a tomb. That Jesus said, I won't just serve people, I will sacrifice my entire life so that people can be freed, meaning so that you can be freed and so that I can be freed. And that's called being great. That's called being great. And I want to give us a challenge right now, that if you want to be great, then you've got to be different. And if you're different, your difference will be seen in the way that you serve and in the way that you sacrifice. And if we are willing to do that, then we can make an incredible difference in this world. It reminds me of a story of a guy and a gal named David and Savi Flood. And David and Savi Flood were some missionaries that went to the African Congo back in the 1920s. But while they were there, they set up just outside of this little village, and they were trying to move into the village and trying to help people know who Jesus was. But the chief wouldn't let them into the village, so they set up camp just a little bit up the mountain. And the only interaction they had with the village was a little boy who would come once or twice a week to sell them eggs and chickens. Well, Savi said, if this is the only person I can have interaction with, then I'm going to love this child well, I'm going to serve this child well, and I'm going to make sure this child hears about Jesus. And sure enough, over time, that child learned, they were able to learn to talk, and she was able to share Jesus with him, and that young boy accepted Christ. It was a little bit after that Savi Flood had become pregnant, and she gave birth there in the jungle, and through the birthing process, she died. And when she died, David Flood, he got angry. He got mad at God because he started yelling at God, God, I've served you. I've sacrificed everything. I came here to the African Congo, and nothing has happened. I haven't even had a chance to talk to people, to tell people about you, and my wife has died. So he buried his wife in a crude little grave right there on the spot. He picked up his newborn daughter, and he went back to the missionary headquarters. He turned over his daughter and said, God has taken everything from me. I can't raise this child. Gave the daughter to some American missionaries there, and then he fled and went back to Scandinavia. Eventually, these American missionaries went back to America. They took this little daughter, whose name was Aggie now, back to America with them. He got back to America. They raised her up. She ended up going to Bible college. She married a guy who ended up becoming a president of a Bible college. And as an adult, she had no interaction with her birth father. She knew that he was alive and in Scandinavia, but that's about it. Well, one day she was sitting at the college, and she was just reading an article. And as she was reading this article, came across this clipping. It was all in Scandinavia, so she wasn't reading that article. She'd been reading some others. But as she was flipping through the magazine, she saw this cross, and it simply said Savi Flood on it. And she knew that was her mother's name, and she was freaking out. So she found somebody in the college who spoke Scandinavian and went, and they looked at the article, and the lady said, well, this is what this is. It's about a missionary who went to this part of the African Congo, and while she was there, she was able to share Christ with a young little boy who ended up, when he became an adult, started a school, and through the school won every child to Christ in that village, and through those children, they won every parent and the chief, and now there's 600 people in that one little village who knows Christ. Pretty cool, right? Well, Aggie, as an adult, she's just fired up about this. Well, at the same time, she hears about her dad who's getting ready to die, so she decides to go to Scandinavia to meet him. And when she gets over there, she meets some of her half-brothers and sisters, and they have a great reunion because he'd gotten remarried since then. But she said, well, I'm going to go and visit him. He's kind of laying on his deathbed. And they said, that's great, but don't mention God because he hates God. And she walked in there, and they had a reunion. He eventually realized who she was. They cried, and he started saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she said, it's okay. God had it all worked out. And immediately the tears stopped. His face stiffened. He's like, don't mention God, because God has taken everything from me. And Aggie said, no, Papa, you don't understand. You think you went to the African Congo and nothing was accomplished? But I want to tell you the story of what happened. that little boy that you guys shared Jesus with ended up turning the entire village towards Christ. And now that village has over 600 believers in it. And in that moment, he wept and he repented. See, what I want you to catch today is this. That when you're willing to serve and sacrifice, a difference gets made. It might not be the difference you were looking for. It might not work out the exact way that you wanted it to, but that's called sacrifice. When we're willing to serve and sacrifice, we don't control the results. We give it to God and we let Him work. And that's what I want to challenge you all to do today. I want to challenge us all to be great by being different and make a difference by the way that you serve and the way that you sacrifice. And with that, let's move into a time of response. Let's move into a time of response and let's really think about this for a second. What would it look like for each and every one of us to say, I'm going to put down my pride and I'm going to pick up my humility. And I'm going to start serving and I'm going to start sacrificing. I'm going to serve and I'm going to sacrifice at my job. I'm going to serve, I'm going to sacrifice in my marriage. I'm going to serve, I'm going to sacrifice at my school. What would it look like? Let me just make this very, very practical this morning, all right? Let me lay out just a couple steps, all right? Some very simple ways that you can serve and sacrifice. Start your service and sacrifice right where you live. Think about your home or your dorm or your cell, wherever it is. Wherever you live, what does it look like to serve and to sacrifice there? Then I want you to move to the place that you work or you go to school, all right? You can call that work or school, all the same, all right? Wherever it is that you go to work or where you go to school, what would it look like to serve or to sacrifice there? What would it look like to pick up the towel? You're the one who knows your work environment. You're the one who knows your school environment. You can probably start thinking like, oh, I need to serve that person. That's who I need to serve. What would it look like for us to pick up the towel where we worship? What would it look like if we put down pride and picked up humility and said, I wanna serve where I worship? Guys, there are hundreds of opportunities to serve inside the walls of the church or with the church is probably another way to say that, okay? I mean, you can serve by running a camera. You can serve by using your creative gifts. You can serve by serving in Kids Rock or serving on a coffee team or serving in the lobby and greeting people or serving by serving people, you know, through caring for them. There's tons of ways, all right? I can't go into every one of them. But what would happen if right here where you worship, if we put down pride and picked up humility? You might say, well, I want to, but I don't have time. Sacrifice. What would it look like for us to serve in our communities? What would it look like for us to drop the pride and pick up the towel and serve in our communities? Let me give you an easy illustration of how you can do that right now. It's August. There are thousands of students going back to school this month. And several of those students, they're going to have new underwear. They're going to have new shoes. They're going to have new backpacks because their family can afford it. But there's going to be some kids going to school who have holes in their socks, who have a backpack that was a hand-me-down. When everybody else is running around with their new shoes on, going, look how fast I am, right? Because that's what you do when you have new shoes on as a kid. A little kid's going to be hiding in the corner because he's embarrassed because he's got old shoes. What would it look like if we just came alongside of some kids at school, right? And there's a couple different ways you can do that. A couple different ways you can do that, right? Like we've got a couple right here on this campus. We've got three trash cans, buckets, right out as you're leaving church today. And in these buckets, all right, there's three different schools that are represented. One of them is Waccamaw Elementary. We talked to the leaders at Waccamaw Elementary. They said, we need some backpacks for our kids because not all of our kids can afford backpacks and school supplies. So maybe what you want to do is just go grab a card right there on the table. You can pick up a card. It'll say buy a backpack and exactly what you need to put in the backpack. And you go this week to Walmart or Target or wherever you like to shop, and you buy a nice backpack, not a $5 piece of crap. Excuse my language. But you buy a nice backpack, and you take care of a kid. Or maybe you want to help South Conway. South Conway, what they need is just some school supplies. And they have a very particular list of this is exactly what we know some kids are going to need this year. And you can grab that card, all right? And you can go to a school and you can just buy exactly what's on that card. Or we also have Homewood Elementary out there. And the Homewood, what they're looking for is some hygiene supplies, meaning they need some underwear, they need some socks, they need some toothpaste, they need some toothbrushes, they need some deodorant. You can pick up that card. You got 7 days, all right? Next week, you bring it back to church, you drop it in one of those buckets. That's it. You don't need 14 days to do this, do that. You might say, well, what's another way I can serve? Well, think about where your kid goes to school, all right? And maybe if you have a child that goes to school and you're going and buying their backpack and their school supplies, then just go ahead and buy an extra backpack and an extra set of school supplies and take that with you when you go to open house that night with your child, all right? You don't have to do one of those schools. You got the school where your kids go. Or maybe you're going out and buying your kid a new pair of shoes. When you buy him a new pair of shoes, chances are if he's a second grader and you're buying a certain size, if you bought a same pair or a very similar pair in the same size, chances are there's a kid in that class who might need a pair of shoes. See what I'm getting at? And you just send them with the teacher. Teachers know which kids need help, okay? I don't know which kid needs help. Teachers, if you're in here, raise your hand. I know we got some teachers. Raise your hand high if you're a teacher. You know which kids in your classroom need help. You know it, right? And because you know it, if you'll supply the teacher will take care of the kid, okay? So that's just some basic ways you can do it. Serve where you live, your house. Serve where you work and go to school. Serve in the community. Serve where you worship. Let's drop the pride and let's pick up the towel of humility, because that's how Jesus said we will find greatness. Stand up, let's pray together. Jesus, right now we come before you. And Jesus, I ask that you would move and you would move in a mighty way. And Jesus, as we see what you did for us, I pray that we would do the same thing for others. That we would serve and that we would sacrifice. And as we're praying, I just want to say one other thing, because I know there's some of us that are here right now, even as we pray, that the way you need to serve Christ is you need to surrender your life to him, because you haven't done that yet. Doesn't mean that you can't go serve other people. We still need to do that. But I'd love to see you start today a new way, by not just thinking about serving others, but also by serving Christ. And the way you do that is you give your life to him. So even as we pray, if you're wanting to do that right now, then I encourage you to pray. Jesus, forgive me. I give you my life. I want to surrender and serve you. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like information on how to give to The Rock Church, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week.